Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So today we're going to talk about some lessons out of the toolbox again, and we're going to talk about iron friends. Iron friends. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this time of year, Lord. Thank you for Christmas, and Lord, as we remember your son's birth and why he came, Lord, I thank you for that gift, the gift that you've given us, and Lord, I pray that we wouldn't forget that during this time of year, and Lord, I pray that you just help us and help us to always be remembering that, even amidst the hustle and bustle and the seeing of friends and family, and Lord, I pray we would take an opportunity to be a good witness for you. And as people have you on their mind, Lord, I pray we would share you with other people and just be a good witness for you. Thank you for this time. Lord, I pray for all the Sunday school classes that are going on, and I pray for pastors. He preaches later. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible has much to say about friends. I believe what type of friends, and I tell our young people this, what type of friends you have today, and this is true for adults, like it or not, but what type of friends we have today is going to determine where we're going to be tomorrow. And I think there are probably two different things, especially for young people, that's going to determine their attitude and where they're at in the future. And one of those is friends. One of them is friends, who their friends are, who has their ear, who is able to communicate with them and talk to them. And the second thing is music. I think music is huge. And I believe those two things has a lot to do with where a young person is going to be. But I don't think it's just for young people. I think it's for adults also. And, you know, you look at people that leave a church or leave the will of God, and usually at some point they have tied in with the wrong kind of people. And people are starting to influence them in the wrong kind of way. This is one thing I believe, and most of you know I'm very much against most technology type things, but your smartphone or your cell phone, one of the differences in, I was talking to my dad, you know, some of you were in my dad's youth group, all right, when he was doing the youth, and I was talking to my dad, and he said, you know, one of the things he told me, he said, you know, one of the big differences from now and then is the technology. You know, used to, you know, those of you that remember growing up perhaps in a youth group or with a group of teens, you had, you know, 10, 15 people that were influenced, that could influence you. You know, they were your friends. That was your peer group. You know, now you can have thousands that at any moment, here's the scary thing, at any moment they can talk to you. At any moment they can communicate to you. At any moment they can send you a picture, okay? And even if you had 10 or 15 or maybe a few more that were able to influence you, they were only able to influence you when you was at home or when you was at school or when you was, you know, with them. Now they can influence you anytime. And the other thing about that, and this is something that you got to be super careful of, is things that appear aren't always what they really are. You know how easy it is for somebody to take a picture and put that as them, and it's not really them? Okay? You got to think about that. And this is, I know, there again, I'm going off on a rabbit trail probably, but you need to be careful about the technology that you have. Everybody gives me a hard time about, man, why do you still have a flip phone? This is the Sinless 6000, all right? That's the series. You know what? I can stay out of a lot of trouble by having this. I mean, and you can still get in trouble, don't get me wrong. But I can stay out of a whole lot more trouble by not even having stuff, access to things, than having 24/7 access to things. Because in a moment of weakness, listen, we all have moments of weakness. If you say, well, I don't have any moments of weakness, all right, then you're either lying okay? Or you're not human. Because we all have moments of weakness, okay? And the problem is yeah, you may have a moment of weakness, but if I don't have access to something in that moment of weakness, wouldn't that protect me to some degree? All right? Now, you can have whatever you want, but I'm just saying there are dangers with today's technology and the access that we have. And not just the access that we have to things, but the access that other people have to us. The other people have to us. Isn't it annoying that you get the phone calls that are, you know, they're for your education to better, you know, your student loan has been approved, Brother Tom. Who cares? He doesn't care about a student loan, okay? I mean, who in here really is thinking about student loans at this point in your life, all right? None of you, are okay? But you get these phone calls about, you know, you've been approved for whatever, okay? Well, how did they get your number? How did they get your number? You know, just your number is out there. And somebody, and the scary thing is there's a lot of, my wife, I don't have an email account. There again, it's just something to protect me. But my wife has one, and they'll send her stuff. And it's like, it is, and that's one reason my wife has the account, not me, okay? But they'll send her stuff that is absolutely filth, okay? And it's, why? I don't know. At some point, they started sending, and you can't, you don't dare reply to it or open it, because who knows what happens then, okay? But you know what it is? It's this, it's everybody trying to get your ear, trying to get you to think a certain way, to do a certain thing, okay? And so we're going to talk about iron sharpeneth iron. You know, in my toolbox, I've got a lot of cutting tools, knives and saw blades, different things like that. And all of them, most of them, are made out of steel, okay? Now, some of them have carbide on them. Some of them are diamond. They have diamond bits on them to make things cut better. But ultimately, they're mostly made out of steel. And we live in a generation, I hate to say this, and I'm somewhat susceptible to this too. We live in a generation of throwaway, okay? Used to, you'd get an older gentleman's knife, and you looked at his knife, and he would open his, you could open the knife blade up, and the knife, the edge of the knife was back, like farther than what it should have been. And that's from years of him taking that knife and sharpening that knife. And over time, I mean, you can tell a guy that has taken care of his knives and that has had a knife for a long time because the blade is, I mean, if most of you would go get your dad's pocket knife that he carried for years, the blade would have been well wore out. You know what we've got now? The biggest thing most people carry is a blade that you flip open and it takes the replacement utility blades, okay? And that's what a lot of people carry is, and they don't sharpen a knife anymore. Most people don't sharpen knives anymore. They just, oh, this one's dull, I'm just going to get a new one. And it, don't get me wrong, I've got a couple of them, okay? I do have a couple of them. My wife a couple years ago bought me a knife. It's called a Havilon, and it takes scalpel blades, is actually what it takes. They've made scalpel blades for these knives, and it's a skinning knife. And don't get me wrong, I mean, you talk about sharp. It'll cut you, and you don't even know you've been cut until you go to wipe the blood away from, you know, cutting the deer up, and there's still blood there, and you wipe it off again, and it's like, oh, I'm bleeding. they're that sharp. And that's nice. But you know what it is? When it gets dull, you don't sharpen it. You just take the blade off and throw it away, and you put another blade on it. But in most of you grew up in a generation where iron sharpened iron, where a stone sharpened iron. And this morning I brought two knives. This is, or one knife, I apologize, can't count. One knife. This is I've used it, this is my grandpa's knife. He ran a butcher shop, and this is a boning knife, straight boning knife. And I also brought this. This is not a knife. This is a file. I got this from Bill Chesser. Bill Chesser gave me this, and it's a file, okay? You've got two iron things, if you would. And the thing about it is iron is not only used for sharpening. Because at this moment, this knife is not, it's not scary sharp. I mean, it's sharp, it'll cut. But it's not scary sharp, okay? And honestly, I don't even know if I could get it that sharp with this tool. But I also have other steels. I have a steel at home. This has got abrasive. It's a file. Most of you've seen files. It's abrasive feeling. I've got steels at home that like a butcher uses that's just a steel rod. That's all it is. Most of you've seen them. They strop their knife on a steel rod. Well, that's how you can get a knife very sharp. But, you know, I can take this knife and I can, and most of you can, you'll probably be able to hear it. You can hear it. And you can take off a rough edge. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron. This is made out of harder metal than what this is. Okay, files are extremely hard. And so by taking this, I can sharpen this knife and take off some rough edges and make it sharper. Okay, I cut some firewood yesterday. I was hoping to get before the ground started thawing and didn't quite get there in time. But I was cutting firewood yesterday. You know, when you sharpen a chainsaw, use a file, and you get that you get that chain, that tooth on that chain, you get it sharp, and then you got to file off the other parts of the chain to get it to dig deeper. Okay, and so we do that. We use it to sharpen. And now this is not one of my better knives. All right, so don't. But you know what else this file is used for? Depending on how I use this file, if I go like this, it no longer is sharpening that blade. You know what that file's doing? It's dulling the blade. You know, Brother Ali, when I'm sawing something, a saw blade's going to last me a long time as long as I stay just in the wood. As soon as I start hitting nails, it gets what? Does it get sharper or duller? Dull. Gets very dull. Brother Don, I was cutting a tree the other day, and I knew there was no fence in the tree, but where I dropped the tree, and it was dark. I know you're not supposed to probably cut firewood at night, but I do. And I had a headlight on, and I'm cutting firewood, and I seen sparks. And you know what? I hit a little piece of wire that was laying alongside that piece of wood. And you know what? As soon as it hit that, the next cut, I could tell a perceptible difference. I got a big saw, and it just cuts like butter through a tree. And you know what? It didn't. You had to put some effort into it. What did that do? It was steel and steel, but it was used in the wrong way. It was used in the wrong way, okay? And, you know, friends are either good or they're bad. Friends are good or bad. And I want to share some verses with you this morning because I think it's important. Yeah, it's important to have good friends, but it's just as important to not have the wrong kind of friends, okay? Most young people, at some point, they're going to get tied up in the wrong kind of friends, okay, that leave the will of God. Look at it. If you have a young person that leaves the will of God, at some point, pastor says this, somebody has their ear. They're listening to someone, okay? So we're going to look at some examples of friends this morning. First of all, we're going to look at good friends. You know, I think good friends are important, and the Bible teaches that good friends are important. So good friends. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. We'll look at verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. We see here a story of two young men, David and Jonathan. And I don't know of two better friends that were in the Bible. Okay, and we see different, remember the story when David went out and Saul's looking for his, you know, Saul's wanting to kill him. And David went out and hid, and Jonathan said, let me shoot some arrows. And however I tell the young men to go get the arrows, that's going to be your sign. And, you know, David and Jonathan were friends for their whole life. Even after Jonathan was dead, Saul was still looking out for Jonathan's interest. Okay, Saul was still worried about the lineage of Jonathan. Or, I'm sorry, David was still worried about the lineage of Jonathan. And Jonathan was looking out for David. Even though, honestly, I think that the time when David and Jonathan were out and Jonathan shot the arrows, if I remember right, that was the last time they ever really saw each other. Okay? Now, I may be wrong, but I mean, that was one of the last times they had communication with each other. Okay? And so we have this illustration of good friends. I want to say this. A good friend gives of himself to better his friends. Go to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. A good friend gives of himself to better his friends. He's not looking for self-promotion. He's looking just to better his friends. How can I be a blessing to this friend? John chapter 15, verse number 13. Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. A man lay down his life for his friends. All right? A good friend gives of himself to better his friends. That's pretty good love. That's pretty good love. When you're willing to give your life so someone else can live. Okay? Number two, a good friend protects his friend. A good friend protects his friend. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. And here's the story. Here's a story of David and Jonathan and what I was just referencing. Let's look at verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 1. And David fled from Naoth into Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. And then we have this story of this banquet that Saul throws, and he expects David to be there, and David's not there. And he ends up Saul being furious that David's not there. And Jonathan sees this and then goes to warn David. And you know what David's doing here? He's protecting his friends. He's protecting him. He's keeping him from an outside force hurting his friends. Now, you know, I don't believe in, you know, a friend that says, well, I know somebody that's getting in trouble right now, and I'm protecting them. The world calls it snitching. I'm not going to snitch on them. I'm not going to rat them out. Okay? Well, listen, you're not being a true friend, and you'll see this later. When you know somebody's getting into trouble and going down a certain road, and you don't say anything to stop them, that's not a friend. That's not a friend. You know what a friend is? When I say a friend protects, a good friend to protect his friends, when somebody comes to you and wants to start putting down someone just because of pride or arrogancy or whatever, you know what a good friend does? A good friend doesn't just stand there and say, well, you know, I guess maybe you're right. You know what a good friend does? No. That's my friend. Okay? You know what Jonathan did for David? He protected him. Okay? He protected him. A good friend protects his friends. Number three, let me read this verse. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Number three, a good friend tells his friend the truth, even though it may hurt. Go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to look at verse number 6. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, I'm thankful. Sometimes I've not always understood it, but I'm thankful when friends have told me where I've been wrong. Okay? I'm thankful for that. Sometimes it's embarrassing. Okay, you got dressed in the morning, all right? And something wasn't, okay, we went to the nativity last night. Bethel had their live nativity down there. So we went down to the nativity thing, and they did a fantastic job. And an older lady, I don't know, she was a senior citizen, senior saint, and she come in, and I think she was probably like the gentleman with her was dressed in a suit, and she was dressed very nice, you know, obviously Christian folks. And lady, she had, I don't know, a lot of you ladies, like Sister Donna and Mrs. Mowry, Miss Ruth, that's the way she kind of had her hair. But she had one of her curlers left in her hair down here on the bottom. And he must have not said, you know, man, you look beautiful. You know, I couldn't see anyway, probably. But she had a curler. She had it all done. She had a curler left in the bottom. Okay. And had no clue. Obviously, you know, ladies, you don't want to leave the curlers in your hair when you go out, you know, not intending to, okay? You know, and, you know, we've all done that. We've all got dressed in the morning and have done something that, you know, has been completely embarrassing, okay? And you don't know it. You're oblivious to it. You know, you're going out to your happy day and everyone's laughing at you and you just, you know, smiling and, you know, think everything's great and everybody's having a good day. And yeah, they are at your expense, you know. And you know what a friend does? You know what a true friend does? Says, hey, you're going to hate me for this, but you should go fix this. You know what? And you're like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for. Aren't you glad it's somebody that's a friend that will actually come to you and say, hey, you need to fix this. Instead of, you know what? You know what? A person that's not your friend, I wasn't her friend. It wasn't my job. But you know, it would be very awkward for me to say, excuse me, ma'am, but did you know you still had a curler left in your hair? That would be very awkward for both of us, okay? Why? I don't know her. I am not her friend, okay? I'm serious. I'm not, okay? Now listen, you know what true friends do? They're not going to lie to you. I think I've heard people do this, especially it's girls. Okay, they'll be standing, there'll be a group of them. They always have to go everywhere in groups. And, you know, teenage girl, I heard my sisters do it some growing up, and even girls in school growing up. They'd go and they'd be in front of the mirror and they'd be like, you know, something's not quite, you know, they're not happy. And they'll be like, oh, I just look awful today. And they say this as just kind of a general statement. It's like throwing something out there. What they're really saying to everyone else is, how do I look? Okay? So, because what they want to do is they're like, my hair is just a mess today. And so all the other people, oh, no, it looks good today. Okay? That's what they generally do. Very rare would you hear one say, yeah, it looks terrible. No, you don't hear that. They're like, oh, no, it looks great today. You know why they say that? They're throwing that out there as, man, I look terrible today. No, you look wonderful. Quit lying to them. They look terrible, okay? You know what a true friend would do? Well, it is kind of messed up today. I mean, your hair is kind of all over the place today. You know what? And I think you get my point here. You know what true friends do? They're going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you the truth. They're not going to lie to you, okay, just to make you feel better. And honestly, very rare is a true friend that is that friend. And here's another thought, and I don't know, I've got a lot here. We probably won't get everything today. You know why I couldn't go to that lady, or even my wife? It wouldn't be appropriate for me to do it anyway, but you know why my wife couldn't necessarily go to her and say, you have a curler left in your hair? Because there's no relationship there. You know, I can go to most of these young people and I can say, hey, you need to work on this area of your life. You know why I can correct a lot of young people that come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and most of the time they take it fairly well, is because there's a relationship there. You know, a young person, they'll buck up when somebody they don't know, has never built a relationship with them, just comes and says, you need to straighten up. You know, they'll buck up. You know why a bus captain can deal with his own bus kids? Because he's built a relationship with them. He showed himself to be their friend. And because he showed himself to be their friend, he can go to them and give them the truth. Okay? And let me just throw this out there. You know, it is important to build relationships with people. It is important. You say, Brother Chad, there's a young person that sits beside me or sits close to me a lot of times at church, and they're always acting up and they don't ever listen to me. Have you ever tried to build a relationship with them? Because when I listen to my dad, and I listen to the men of the church that have built a relationship with me. Why? Because there is that. If pretty much anybody in this room, all right, I've grown up here. You know me. You come to me and say, hey, I've noticed this. You know what? I would be wrong not to take that counsel. That would be wrong on my part. Why? Because you've invested in me. You've built a relationship. I respect you. Okay, you know where what you have to do is you have to build a relationship with these people, with these young people, with each other. That way, when things come up, it's, you know, you are able to approach them. Because if I don't have a relationship with them, okay, I see people all the time in Walmart that really, they need corrected. But I don't just go up to random people and say, excuse me, you're misbehaving, okay? That's not my job, okay? But you know what? If there's a bus kid there that I know, I don't really have a problem going up to them, because you know why? Because I know their name. I can say, hey, what's going on? Why are you acting like a little devil for your mother? Why? Because there's a relationship, okay? There's a friendship there. And because of that friendship, you're able to communicate with that person. Okay? A friend loveth at all times. All right? Faithful are the wounds. You know this file, when you do this and you sharpen it, you know it's actually taking material away. It's actually, I'd say hurting it, but it is. It's funny, you know that spot where I went over it like this? You can hear it. Well, I can. You can feel it. It's a rough spot. Okay? You know what I have to do now? I can fix that spot. I have to take some material away. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A good friend tells his friend the truth, even though it may hurt. Number four, a good friend gives good advice. Proverbs chapter 27, you should be there. Look at verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know what hearty there means? When I think of hearty, there used to be a soup or something that had hearty. I don't even remember what it was called. It was like, I don't know, like a hearty vegetable soup or something, like a stew. And Denny Moore or something like that, I don't remember. But it was hearty. You know what that meant? It was full. It was healthy. Had substance. You know, a good friend is going to give you good advice, hearty advice, healthy, full advice, okay? Not junk. I don't know if I'll get to it. I'm going to mention it now. Remember, the Bible talked about Amnon, a man named Amnon in the Bible. And the Bible said, and Amnon had a, what, friend. His name was Jonadab. And Amnon had this desire to do wrong, to commit fornication with Tamar, his sister, okay? But he never had the nerve, honestly, at least I don't believe he did. I don't believe he had the nerve to do it himself. But the Bible says, but he had a friend. And you know what that friend did? It gave him the nerve. It gave him the, well, yeah, this is great. I'm going to go do this. Okay? That's what a bad friend's going to do. That was bad advice. That was bad advice. All right? Okay, so we've got good friends. Good friends give himself to better his friends. A good friend protects his friends. A good friend tells his friend the truth, even though it may hurt. A good friend gives good advice. But bad friends. Bad friends. Go to Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs chapter number 19. Should just be back a few pages. Bad friends. I wrote this down. They're like leeches. They're always trying to get what you have. Okay? They are. They're like leeches. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. That giveth gifts. You know, if I started giving gifts to everyone and I just had, you know, hundreds of gifts up here, I'd be the most popular person today. Wouldn't I? Okay? There's not very many people that'd be like, oh, especially if I have something you want. You know, keys to a new car. I mean, how many would line up if I was giving new keys to new cars away? Amen. Don't lie about it. Don't be like, oh, I wouldn't. I just don't accept charity. I do, especially if it's a new car, all right? A new gun. I don't know what you want. Maybe a car I'd just rather have a horse and buggy, all right? Whatever. If you want it, you can have it, but I like a new car, okay? I like guns. I like knives, okay? If I was giving stuff away, you're a popular person, but you know what? You know how to tell a good friend from a bad friend? Is who's still around when the money runs out. You know what a good friend is? He's there all the time. He's there. A friend loveth at all times. Okay? A brother. Some of you probably have had friends in your life that have been closer than your family members. And you know those friends that are like a brother are there when your family's not there. That's a good friend. Okay? That's a good friend. Bad friends are like leeches, though. I'm going to hit this real quick. And if I don't get anything else. But you know mistletoe? Everybody knows what mistletoe. This is the time of year for mistletoe. Okay? Yeah, you know what? What is Christmas and mistletoe all about? Kissing, right? Right? It's okay. This is an adult class. All right. It's kissing. You know, actually, mistletoe, though, is actually a pagan, and I'm not into the, you know, everybody, well, the Christmas tree, whatever. Okay, give me a break. All right, but mistletoe, you know what they actually, and I'm not, this is just a mistletoe thing, but the thing about the mistletoe is that it was basically permission for you to kiss whoever you wanted to. That's actually what it was for. So you could hold mistletoe up and you were supposed to be able to kiss whoever you wanted to, not under the bounds of God-ordained marriage. Just, oh, I want to kiss them, so I'm going to have mistletoe. All right? That has nothing to do with what I was talking about, except for mistletoe. Do you know that mistletoe is actually a parasite? Mistletoe itself is a parasite. It'll grow up on a tree, and it'll suck all the life out of the tree, and it'll kill that tree. Okay? Mistletoe will do that. You know what it is? It's something that comes in and it looks pretty, and the whole time it's taking the life right out of that tree. Okay? What is it? It's a sucker. It's a leech. Okay? It's not good for it. All right, number two. First of all, they're like leeches. Number two, when trouble comes, bad friends will abandon you. I think of Job's friends. You know, Job's friends weren't really friends, okay? I don't think they were. I think the most friendly thing they did was when they came and sat with Job and kept their mouth shut, okay? That's the most friendly thing that they did. Hey, and you know, sometimes when you don't know what to do, just be quiet. You know, sometimes there's just people that comfort you by their presence. They don't have to say anything. Just the fact that they drove however long to come be with you in a hard time speaks more than any words could ever say. Okay? But bad friends will abandon you. Oh, he's getting in trouble. I got to leave now. All right? Number three, a bad friend will tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. And we looked at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Number four, a bad friend gives bad advice, kind of goes along with what we was talking about. Esther, I'm going to read this. Esther chapter 5, verse 10. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And you know what that cost Haman eventually? His own life, because he listened to the counsel of his friends. You can't usually have good friends and bad friends. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. To have a good friend, you must be a good friend. To have a good friend, you must be a good friend. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Being a good friend takes sacrifice. You know, being a good friend can be a one-way street, but it's much more enjoyable if it's two ways. Okay? Even if everyone that you thought were your friends leave you, you still have a friend in Jesus. You know, Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. He will never leave us or forsake us. Some application here, and we'll go. Be friendly. Be friendly. You can impact more people by being friendly than by being gruff and mean. Okay? Choose your friends carefully. You don't have to be mean to people. Well, I can't be your friend. You know, that's elementary. I can't be your friend. Okay? Well, you don't have to be mean to them about it. You just don't have to be their friend. Okay? If Jesus isn't your friend, why don't you make him your friend today? Jesus, that's one of those friendships that's a one-way, can be a one-way street. You know, Jesus is a friend. He gave his life for everyone. He showed himself friendly. All right? That was a gift that he gave to everyone. But not everyone receives it. Not everybody wants it. Okay? Some lessons on friends. You're either going to be one of two things. You're either going to be this, or you're going to be that. And it's up to you what you will be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these lessons from a toolbox. And Lord, I pray that you help our folks here. Help us to be friendly. Help us this Christmas time of year not to be false friends. Help us to be genuine friends. Help us to show people your love, how you are a friend to us. In Jesus' name.